Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Saturday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and this is a day in Chicago that's being celebrated as the Bud Billiken Day Parade. Now, of course, Bud Billiken is a fictitious character, but this event has been an opportunity for communities to come together in celebration of the spirit of community. And it also has been a major promotional event for those who are in business, who have organizations or who have clubs. And it is a way to advertise by being in this parade starting from 35th Street all the way to 55th Street on Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. So this is a day where community is celebrated. Chicago has had its challenges this year. Many of the communities have been shattered by acts of violence and rising crime as a result of economic distress. Many people are looking to the politicians for solutions, but truly the answer is always in the hands of the people. So today we're going to hear from some community residents who've taken the revitalization of their community in their own hands. They've made a decision that they're going to create the kind of city they desire. They're going to create the kind of neighborhoods they want to live in, and they're going to create safe places for their children. This is something that's always within our power to do if we simply decide. So we want you, if you are living in a community, to decide. Decide to get involved in whatever organization is making an effort. Or if there isn't one, start one. And if you have the means to do some type of public service, do that service. One person really can make a difference, and one person can revitalize a whole community by energizing others. So we'll be back with a few of those community-minded leaders and residents who've decided they personally will take a responsibility for making a difference. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, just give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll gladly add you to the conversation. And if you would like to join us visually, you can go to The Female Solution on Facebook or YouTube and write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. And today we want to take a look at communities cooperating for cleanliness, peace, and prosperity. We really do have the answer to our problems, but it's going to take a decision to get involved. And that means not waiting for politicians to decide they want to put forth resources or change laws or give grants. Sometimes it's just a matter of people who are choosing to make a difference. So we're going to join a dynamic coalition of organizers who are deciding to gather in a very challenged neighborhood on the Chicago South Side, South Shore. And South Shore is a community that has had its challenges because of the changes in the economic climate as a result of the closing of the steel mills. But there are still people who are willing to reach out to the community and provide activities that bring joy. So we'll bring you some of the insight from those who have organized communities partnering for peace. And if you are part of a community, then you want your community to certainly be willing to partner for peace. And you want your children to feel safe where they live, which means the residents have to decide that they care enough to work together. And this is really what it's all about. Residents deciding that they care enough to work together to make a difference. And when they do, we have a partnership for peace. So let's take a look at them.
Thank you. Children engaging in negative behavior, it's
a reaction to the absence of adults who are involved in their lives. We have the solution to our problem, and it never has been more police and more armed conflict. It has always been involvement. And it's not about how much money we have, because time doesn't cost anything. And if we're going to pool our resources to give our children a happy childhood, a safe childhood, a loving childhood, then we need to care enough to spend the time. This is what makes a difference in a community. And all across Chicago, places where crime has increased has been places where people have not shown they care for their children. They have not gotten involved. And we certainly do want to say great job to the community of South Shore and to the people who are involved in the efforts of bringing some type of activities, a festive atmosphere. And as you heard, there's music, there's food, and there's interaction with community members, and there is a sense of security because the people who live there are watching out for the activities that are actually bringing joy. So we have to be willing to create the spaces where people can experience joy. Now, today, of course, is a historic parade being held down King Drive. And we may be able to bring you a little bit of that as it unfolds. It started at 35th Street on King, and of course goes down King Drive, a long parade route, and much of the activity is involved with the performances during the parade and many vendors who are taking advantage of crowds to be able to sell their items. So it's a financially beneficial event for all those who choose to participate. But, of course, there's always issues of security, and it's important for those participants who are spending 3-4 hours in the process of marching down the street, performing, and waving to the crowds to feel safe. So there are barriers, barricades that are placed along the sides of the street, and only those media representatives who have been pre-approved are able to come inside those barriers in order to take their videos and photos. And there's always a certain concern because the news has shown Chicago to be a place where gun violence keeps happening, and no one seems to know how to stop it. So what we've seen is that the best way to curb gun violence is to change the atmosphere, to change the vibration, to change the spirit in an area. Where there's joy, there's not going to be anger and violence. Where there's laughter, there's not going to be fighting. So we can always change the mood in the places where we live. We can always choose to change what people feel by changing the sounds that they hear. If you're hearing sounds of joy, if you're hearing music, if you're seeing dancing, if you're hearing singing, that, in fact, raises the vibration, and it creates a spirit of joy. And it also affects the moods of the people who are in that place. So if we really want to change the atmosphere of violence, then we have to change the sounds. We have to create the sounds of joy. We have to create the sounds of peace. Now, one of the things that we did talk about last month during the 4th of July was the sound of gunfire simulated as firecrackers. Firecrackers, of course, imitate the sound of gunshots and the explosions in the air, however beautiful the colors may be. The explosion sounds, before you see the colors, are simulations of bombs. So our suggestion was that we perhaps choose a different way when we want to celebrate something, and perhaps we choose a different sound when we want to throw a party. Because when you've had repeated incidences of mass shootings or drive-by shootings, the last thing we really want to create is the sound of gunshots in the middle of a celebration. People become anxious, fearful, worried, and they're definitely not feeling calm and easy when suddenly there's the sound of gunfire. And just the day before on the news, there was a report of someone shooting into a crowd. So with the recent 4th of July tragedy that happened in a neighborhood in Illinois, a neighborhood outside of Chicago that was known to be a peaceful neighborhood, and yet a gunman opened fire during a parade, the memories of this are very raw. And so this annual Bud Billiken Day Parade, which has happened year after year after year without any serious incidences, now has the challenge of keeping people in a state of peace and joy and belief that everyone will behave themselves accordingly, even after the tragedy that we just witnessed. So when people become too afraid to gather, then they, of course, stop having festivals. And then that changes the atmosphere of the neighborhood, because then there's no one to bring joy. Communities should be able to celebrate comfortably without fear and without feeling that they need an overwhelming police presence with guns in their holsters and hands on their hip as if they're ready to draw and shoot. That's not a comfortable atmosphere. And yet we have a responsibility to change the environment so that we're not fearful at our celebrations. So we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts as we talk about communities cooperating for peace and prosperity. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll share with you some more good news happening in the South Shore community. And then we'll share with you efforts by residents of the Maple Park community on Chicago's South Side. An alley cleanup, cleaning up the neighborhood and giving people a sense of well-being that they are worthy of beauty. They're worthy of cleanliness. And they wish to maintain such an atmosphere. How do we make it happen? We choose to do it ourselves. And this is always the solution, to just do it. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stay with us. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lights your number up on our switchboard, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, simply write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our channel so you can get daily notices when we're live, and you can join in the conversation and be a part of the solution. We'll be right back in just one moment, so stay with us.
Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we have visited with a number of residents who have taken it upon themselves to make a difference. And, of course, you've heard Dr. Willie Wilson and his promotion of peace and an end of crime. And as a candidate for mayor, he says he intends to make that a priority. One of the things that contributes to crime is lack of economic opportunities. And for those who are living in neighborhoods where businesses have left and shops have closed and employment is gone, they have often been the place where drugs and gun violence have escalated. An absence of opportunity. Well, one woman has had a history of making a difference. She has been one who has gotten fathers involved with her Real Men Cook program. And now Yvette Moyo is the CEO of the Quarry Event Center, a place in the South Shore community at 75th and Phillips where many activities are going on and many people are able to gather in a safe place and organize, strategize, mobilize, and socialize in ways that enhance the community. But Yvette Moyo is also a communicator, a publisher of the magazine Southside Drive. And this informs the residents of economic opportunities as well as giving them a vision of those people who are choosing to make a positive difference. So we spent a bit of time with Yvette Moyo at a recent gathering at the Quarry Event Center. And this is a time where the event center is considering what may happen if the area and those who are doing a special development project receive funding from the state for more economic development. And this upcoming grant, which could make a difference in a lot of lives, is something Yvette Moyo has talked about in her recent edition of Southside Drive. So let's take a look at what can happen when people come together and their efforts are rewarded by granting the financing to make a difference.
I'm Naima Latif with the Media Connection TV, and we are here with Yvette Moyo, who is publisher of the Southside Drive and CEO of the Quarry Event Center. Thank you so much, Yvette, for joining us today on the Media Connection TV.
Thank you so much, Naima. It's so wonderful to have you back here at the Quarry.
Yes. Well, this is becoming a very popular hub in the South Shore community, and definitely today, drawn quite a number of people. Tell us about what's happening here today.
Well, today they just made an announcement. Community leaders just made an announcement that they're organization from which you launched a campaign to recruit LaShawn Gordon on the mayor.
Yes, well, he's definitely been a very powerful legislator, so it's a matter of if he chooses to make that step. And we appreciate his service.
Yes, quite dynamic. And we had a couple of other candidates, you know, sort of announced their run. From here at the party. So we're very grateful that people realize that it's a black-owned establishment and it's a place, a hub for the good news. The good news is that people are interested enough to be involved in the leadership of this city on many levels.
Yes, we've got some new developments happening in South Shore that has caught the attention of those who are making decisions about funding. Tell us about the new South Shore development.
Yes, well, as you know, the mayor had a program called Invest Southwest, and I think it was probably a growth out of the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund. Corey was a beneficiary of that, and we completed successfully some upgrades to this venue itself, Corey, right here on 75th Street in South Shore. But bigger development ideas are happening from one of our own, Mr. Leon Walker, who owns the DL3 Realty, who has built many developments throughout Chicago, including 1715 Stern and Hostess, the development that has the Starbucks, the Whole Foods, the Oak Street Health. And so Leon Walker is that developer, and he recently is an Invest Southwest recipient. The city of Chicago is providing money for developers to do better and to develop communities. And the next step from Invest Southwest, he was recently one of the finalists to receive what is called a $10 million Pritzker Award. And that is $10 million toward a development that's well over $50 million right here on 79th and Exchange, where part of where I grew up, I grew up in South Shore. I live right down the street from the quarry, which our nonprofit purchased in 2018. And we've been developing the South Shore 76th Street corridor and on 79th Street, working with the New Nazareth Church on a lot of community programs. So we're extremely excited about what's coming to 79th and Exchange. It's called Thrive Exchange. That is development.
Thrive Exchange.
And it will allow South Shore to thrive in the way that we had hoped when I returned to South Shore 10 years ago. I returned in 2012 to help my mom and realized that the strip, this corridor, had bad reputation, 71st Street, 79th Street, just not enough opportunities for the residents. So we're fast forward to our 8 years of being here at the quarry, 4 years of owning it. And so we use this issue of Southside Drive magazine, which we've been publishing here. We've been publishing it here at the quarry since, well, actually, my first publication was South Shore publication.
Yeah.
Right here from the quarry, South Shore Current, now Southside Drive, is a bigger way to serve the community. This particular special edition of Southside Drive, which has a subtitle, Guide to the Good Life Chicago, really is about DL3 Realty and what they are doing with 79th and Exchange and what the possibilities are for current residents that live right here to relocate, have their eye one day on a development like living on 79th and Exchange, which I think is like a 4 square block area of stores and development, health centers, all the things that we say are from this community should offer in their plans that's included. And so we developed a whole issue of the magazine, and we called it South Shore, because Eyes on the Prize, because we're the only Southside organization that is in the running for the $10 million
prize.
So it's very, very important. What $10 million does is accelerates the process for us to be able to see something. The developments take a long time. But this is DL3. This is one of their developments, also the Discover Center, that used to be the Target on 87th Street. So they turned it into a Discover Center, lots of jobs being developed. This is the kind of work, gorgeous work that he does.
Wow.
In addition to the the development that he's going through on Portland District 63rd and now their Chicago Family Health Center is one of their partners. So this is very, very innovative opportunity for healthcare services. And this is a historic building here that'll be transformed once the Pritzker Prize is won. Again, the process will be accelerated for development. And so the goal is to, this is another revere factor. These are people that are involved with housing and purchasing and development. And this is some basically black African Americans that are running most of this. And this is some piece in the magazine about the Pritzker Prize. We're in it to win it from South Shore. And you know my history here in South Shore goes back, family history goes back 58 years. I talked a little bit about it in the publishing business about how my dad worked for the steel mills and the auto industry and how every man worked. I mean, there was not an unemployment statistic for South Shore. I mean, and for the South Side, and actually when industry left, the industry was right here on 78 and 79. Although it was light manufacturing, people worked. And if they wanted to do the heavy manufacturing, like my dad, who was a welder, they could go to the steel mill. They could go to U.S. Steel. They could go to UAW, become members of the Auto Workers Union, and work forever. So this is a wonderful piece by Karen Norrington Reed, who is one of the chief workforce development innovators in the city of Chicago. She actually wrote this article about the workforce piece that will be included in South Shore. We haven't talked about South Shore being employed in a very long time. There are people like Kareem here that joined us today, who's been part of our day camp and who's been a part of our magazine. I look forward to more things happening, more opportunities in South Shore. Kareem goes to Powell Elementary.
Wow.
Those students who have a relationship with us here at the quarry will be able to hear more and learn more about this. The South Shore Chamber is very much aligned and involved. The Southeast, Alliance of the Southeast, the Realman Charities has been a partner with them for some time. But they really are, they really talk about equitable development. What does it look like? And so there's a little bit about this where their executive director, Amalia, is really talking about what it looks like. And it looks like DL3 Realty has done all the preliminary work, all the groundwork work, to make sure that they're respectful to the current residents and also looking forward to welcoming new businesses, new partners, and fair opportunities for employment, housing, and all the things that we care about today in South Shore and growing.
So when it comes to winning the prize money, what kind of thing can be done? Is it something that residents can lobby for, or you know, how does that voting process work?
I always think that the more we know and the more that we speak about what we're worthy of getting, how long South Shore has been deprived of resources, and how much of disenfranchisement has happened. A lot of people, returning citizens, have not had an opportunity to work, to grow, to be trained, to be properly welcomed back into the community. Many of them are black men who really would be able to look at this as an opportunity. We have a low-income segment of South Shore that we could grow, and we have very educated people that are just waiting to be able to welcome opportunity here. Yes, Maria, would you like to say something?
Money can offer kids, like,
give
them to people, and they can give it to charity
for
people.
That's good. I like
good
that.
Idea.
That's a giving spirit.
Absolutely. Homeless for sure.
Yes. Right? Yes. And say, you know what, and give them homes. And give them homes. Because one of the things in the article, it talks about affordable housing and as well as low-income housing. So affordable and low, you know, low-income housing is two different things. So affordable is for people like me who just want to work every day. We can pay for where we live, but we can't overpay. Yeah, and be forced out of the community. When new developers come, there's usually not a
already been there. They build on us. In this way, this gentleman, GL3 Realty, is building with them. He surveyed the community, done all the right things, and he created these partners that we are finding out more about every day. And so we're very excited about the development.
Wow. I'm certainly praying that money comes through. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't know the history of why South Shore suddenly was having trouble financially. They don't realize a whole industry left with all the jobs.
Yes. Auto industry, light manufacturing.
Yes.
Things that we want to be able to have our children and grandchildren gain the skills so they can support themselves and contribute. And you see, this young man is all about helping other people. You're looking forward? Say that again. We didn't hear you.
To bring community residents together. But someone must step up and make the first move to change a condition. We have seen all across, not just Chicago, but cities across the nation, where people are in distress because they can't figure out why there is this sudden spike in violence. And yet, it's pretty obvious we've had 2 years of a very stressful situation. A lot of focusing on sickness and death and a lot of fear and a lot of isolation. We've had children whose regular routine has been disrupted, and many of them are trapped in home environments that are unhealthy. A lot of that frustrated energy is being expressed. And what we see is making many residents feel fearful and hopeless and looking for somebody to blame. We have these ongoing conflicts where police are accused of over-policing and harassing people who aren't bothering anybody. And yet you have police who are feeling the stress of a job in which at any moment their lives could be snuffed out as they go into the face of danger. Neighborhoods that appear dangerous are generally those that are unkempt. They are filled with trash, abandoned buildings, boarded up homes, the image of despair. So any new development has the power to change the atmosphere and bring back hope and trust and cooperation between residents. So it's important that where we live not have that image of desolation. It's important that our children get the impression that someone cares enough to give them safe places to play and to gather and gives them activities that they can feel good about themselves and enjoy interaction with their friends. With the absence of that, there's a void, and what tends to fill that void is something negative. So if we want to stop the escalation of negative behavior, we have to create positive atmospheres. We have to create positive looking places where people feel safe to walk through and come to and gather and have events. When our communities are clean and neat and orderly, when homes are well kept and they give the impression that the homeowners care enough about themselves and their families to give them a comfortable place to live, it creates the environment in which children feel safe and they can engage in activities with people that they trust who care about them. Appearance is everything. The way you look attracts a reflection of what you're saying about yourself. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we want to share with you the efforts of a community on the south side of Chicago, where the residents are determined to keep an image of cleanliness and safety so that their children have places to play, places to gather with their friends and socialize, and they can feel protected. It's a simple thing sometimes as picking up a broom or a rake or a shovel, using a lawnmower, and simply making the area look nice. It says a lot. Just like the way you take care of your physical body says something about how you feel about yourself, the way you take care of your surroundings says something about how you feel about yourself. The Maple Park community on Chicago's south side, listed in some maps as West Pullman, is a community of 300 homes in which many World War II veterans first came back in the early 60s to settle with their families, raise their children, and provide a stable environment. There are local schools, and there have been local businesses that provided an ongoing cash flow. Over the years, as the neighborhood made various changes and did some reconstructuring, residents were determined to keep the atmosphere of safety. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about communities cooperating for peace and prosperity. What do we need to do to create an atmosphere where our children don't feel despair, but feel a sense of belonging? When children feel a sense of belonging, they're not likely to go and rob and carjack. They're not likely to sell illegal drugs. They're not likely to participate in gun violence when they have a community that cares. So how do we create that wherever it is that we live? Sometimes all we need to do is pick up a broom. We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll come right to you and get your thoughts about creating community cooperation for peace and prosperity. We'll be back after this message. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
So that you can see a difference in the place where you live. And we'll be right back after this brief message.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
And today we are sharing stories of communities cooperating for peace and prosperity. And today, as we look at the challenge of many communities that have been disturbed by violence, we find that sometimes it's just a matter of changing the atmosphere. Changing the image, cleaning up so that the people feel safe and the children feel better about themselves. So now we're going to join efforts by the 116th Block Club of Laughlin Street, part of the Maple Park community. And these are residents who've decided to simply take matters into their own hands by keeping their community clean and safe. All right. Wait a minute. And there we are.
And this is Laughlin Street. And it's part of the Maple Park community where homeowners take pride in where they live. So today, we'll be joining an alley by the Laughlin Street Block Club. And of course, this is an annual event that the Block Club does as a way to make sure that the alleyways are as clean as the streets, and to give a certain amount of pride to the residents. You know, when you live in filth, it doesn't make you feel good. So making people live in places that are unclean is a way of showing disrespect. So to keep our communities clean. So we're gathering for this alley
participated in the cleanup, we do say thank you, because it does make a difference when you live in cleanliness. It makes a difference of how your children feel about themselves and the kind of activities that you see happening in your neighborhood based on the message you've given the people who live there. Do they matter? And are there abandoned buildings that no one bothers to purchase and clean up and live in? Are there vacant lots where they're overgrown with plants that are never trimmed or removed, mixed in with garbage and refuse? What are we saying when we don't clean up our neighborhoods? So we've, of course, got an opportunity to teach our children something by showing them that we care enough about where they live to keep it clean. It isn't a matter of making the city do it or making the city responsible, but it really is a matter of us choosing to create the environment we desire. It really isn't anyone else's responsibility except our own, because we control where we live. Now, one experience I had when I traveled abroad and spent time in China and in South Korea, both places I noticed something very surprising. In the business district, I saw shopkeepers get out and hose down the front of their home and their business. I didn't see garbage cans all over the place, but I also saw no garbage. So wherever they were putting it, it was out of sight, and the streets were clean. And I didn't see hired street sweepers. I saw the people. I saw the owners of those places cleaning up their own place. I don't know what their tax structure is like. I don't know, you know, how their garbage pickup is. But I do know that people chose to live in a clean environment and there was no trash. And we can do the same. So today we had a chance to gather together and clean up. Simply clean up. So here we have the president of the Block Club and his wife, Reverend Gregory Williams and his wife, Linda Williams, along with other residents who took the time to participate in this cleanup of their alleys, not just behind their own home, but other residents' homes. And the wonderful thing about this community effort is that people realize that there are some residents that are elderly and not perhaps able to get out, but we still want their areas to be clean. We still want their areas to feel safe. So we wanted to make an effort to clean up. And that means sometimes picking up trash that the garbage collection missed. So it's not a matter of complaining about what isn't done, but sometimes you just have to do it. You have to choose to do it. Our own tools, rake, broom. Choosing to pick up where perhaps the streets and sanitation miss. You know, they don't come behind after they empty your trash can and throw away your garbage or sweep up the alleyways or cut overgrown weeds and unwanted growth coming through the concrete. They don't come and do that. But if we want it done because we want the alleyways to look well kept, we have to care enough to do it. We have to care enough to get out and put in the time it takes to clean. So in this process, we understand that no one's making us do this, and we don't have to get angry at those who perhaps are not doing it, but we can choose to participate. We can choose to participate in this process, and we can choose to make a difference. We can choose to change the way our homes look. We can choose to change the way our streets look. We can choose to be a part of an effort, a community effort of cleanliness. And nothing is stopping us from making that choice. Nothing is stopping us from deciding to pick up someone else's garbage. You know, certainly many times after a street and sanitation run, there is trash strewn all over. And sometimes there is growth that comes from out of our backyards and out into the alleyways. And sometimes they can block the alleys, and sometimes that becomes hiding places for unwanted critters, and sometimes it becomes hiding places for thieves. So if we want to make sure that our alleyways are safe, then we have to choose to clean it. And sometimes it's an effort that might only involve a few people, but those few can make a difference. And when we gather together with our neighbors and we look at what is the beginning of the change in a community, an atmosphere of unsafety, sometimes it's simply a matter of things not being kept clean. So here's a word from the president of the Laughlin Street Block Club, Reverend Gregory Williams.
Why do you think it's important to clean up the atmosphere to keep from control rodents, smell, and keep the animals out of the way? You can also be able to see when you can, don't have all that foliage in the way. So it's definitely necessary. Good health habit to keep the alleys clean. Why do you think it's important to clean up the atmosphere? It's definitely necessary to keep from control rodents, smell, and keep the animals out of the way. You can also be able to see when you can, don't have all that foliage in the way. So it's definitely necessary.
Children, that they are worthy of clean places to live. When we do this, we're saying to them that they matter. And when we take the time to remove possible hiding places, even from people who may not have our best interest at heart, we can keep neighborhoods safe. When you have overgrown bushes and trees, hiding entryways, hiding garage entrances, you invite those who are looking for opportunities to commit acts of theft. So keeping those areas clear is critical. It means paying attention, looking for where might be danger areas, and how you can go about keeping those areas clear. So it's important to clean up. It's important to clean up because we want to say this is a safe place to live. It makes a difference. When people walk through a neighborhood that is clean and neat and the houses are kept up, it makes a difference when you add to the feeling of safety. These are generally not areas that are targeted by those who are looking for opportunities to commit acts of crime, because it says we are neighbors who look out for each other. This is what we want to give as a message. This is a neighborhood where people care. They care about the appearance of their lawns, their gardens. They keep them well manicured. And then even the lights in front of the houses, it means it's going to be well illuminated. And when people walk the streets at night, they're going to see where it's safe. They're going to see where it's well lit. They're going to see that neighborhoods like this are not easy targets because people are watching out and they're making sure that their neighborhoods are lit and there's a uniformity, which means there is a unity. So this is what it takes. If we want to see a change in our city, we have to have neighborhoods where people work together and people are willing to put forth effort so that their environment is clean. And we want our children to feel like they can play outside and there will be adults that watch them and keep them safe. It makes a difference, the kind of childhood you have and what that does when you become an adult, the kind of neighborhood you look at discovering and finding and recreating for your children. When you buy a home, you're not just buying the house, you're buying the block, you're buying your next door neighbors, you're buying the people across the street, you're buying the stores in the community, you're buying the schools in the community, you're buying the attitude of the people, you're buying all of that. When you buy a home, the Maple Park community, which spans the square mile area of Ashland to Halsted, 115th to 119th, is an area that became available after World War II veterans looking to take advantage of the government giving loans for homeownership came seeking a place where they could raise their children. This was a community that formed as a result of a local bank making those home loans possible for so many African-American veterans who had been turned down in other places. So this area, which was once marshland, was put together by a developer, and they had a number of choices. Architects, designs of homes, people could decide what they wanted their home to look like. They could choose which home they wanted to be built. They bought the plot where the home was to be built, the home was constructed, and the family received a 30-year mortgage. Well, of course, these are homes that have now been paid for, because this was back in 1962. In 1962, there were many young men with families that wanted to get out of apartment buildings and get into their own home. So there was a pride in home ownership. There was a pride in keeping one's property neat and clean and well-maintained. And with that pride came children who learned that you didn't throw trash as you walked down the street with your potato chip bags. You didn't throw your pop cans all over the place. You didn't do that because you cared about your community. It's a mindset. And so this is what we have to teach our children, but we can't teach it to them if they're growing up in squalor, if they're growing up in homes that we don't care to keep clean, because we're saying to them, I'm not worthy of cleanliness and beauty. So even if we're keeping our inside of our home clean, we need to also clean up the outside, because the entire community is reflecting back to our children their self-worth. If they're not feeling like we value them, then they're not going to value themselves, and they're not going to value others. And our sister Zelda says, Grand Rising, great day for sharing. Yes, it is. This is a time for us to really evaluate what have we put into our children that they're reflecting back to us such self-hate. If we really want to see a change in the way they behave, we must change the environment in which they are living. And if we want to see a change in their attitude, we have to change our attitude about taking responsibility. We're in an election season, and it seems like we're always in an election season. We've seen Dr. Willie Wilson, who has gone across the city and even to the surrounding suburban areas, reaching out to the homeless and sharing his wealth, providing for their needs, because that's part of what has to happen. You can't have people living in extreme poverty and homelessness and expect there to be peace. There has to be a sharing of the wealth. And it can't just come from one man. We love Dr. Willie Wilson, but as he's often challenged others, you do likewise. You help people. You find ways for them to live with dignity, because there's no reason anyone should be on the street, living on concrete, sleeping in the rain. No one. And what does that say about us as a human family when we allow that to happen? So our children watch us, and they see how we are treating others, and they're going to imitate what they see. So what we want them to see are people who care enough about them to provide a clean, safe place for them to live. We're going to take our last break and come right back and share more with those who are celebrating a day for community. What are some ways that we can change what we're seeing? And, of course, we've heard from our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks, who has a very powerful operation that is helping the homeless and reminding us that we are our brother's keeper. And you can go to higherlearningnetwork.org. I believe that is. If I got that wrong, just text it and I'll make sure I get it right. Because we want you to give and we want you to participate in efforts to change the condition of people so that everyone can have a nice home and a nice community in which to live. We'll be right back after this last break, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325. To share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
To share with your local community organization, then you need to get involved because this is an effort that's going to take everybody's cooperation. We have the power to change this world. We have it in our own hands. And so we need not look to something outside ourselves to fix the problem, because it is something that we have the ability to change if we choose to do so. There are a number of ways that we can go about changing the experience that our children have. And when we have events that bring joy, bring laughter, bring a sense of community, then we see a change in behavior. So we've had a number of events where people have gathered and there have been outbreaks of conflict. And the question is, how do we prevent that from happening? It really comes down to changing what is inside of the people who choose to disturb a joyous occasion. How do we create an inner peace? If we can choose to create an environment where there is a connection between people and we're talking to each other and we know each other's names and we have contact information with each other, then we're not strangers. If you live on a city block and you don't know your next door neighbor and you don't have their phone number and they don't have yours, change that today. Know the people with whom you live and get to know their children so that their children feel not only are the eyes of their parents watching, but so are the eyes of the block on which they live and the greater community. We often say this is how it used to be in the old days. There are some good things about the internet. It makes it even easier to stay connected. So why do we let ourselves get so disconnected? Perhaps we need to think about what are we allowing to come through our cell phones and our computers on a moment-by-moment basis. Is this information that is empowering, or is it information that's keeping us frightened? You can Google your address and go to Google Maps, and you can see your house. You can see where someone has taken a picture of the place where you live. It's a matter of public record. You can see anything, everywhere. So we are not strangers. If we want to make sure we know where our children are, if they have a friend that they're going to visit and we get the address, we can Google that address. We can see what kind of house it is, what kind of street they live on. We're not strangers. There's no reason for us to be so disconnected that things happen and no one knows anything because no one knows anybody. The greatest security we can have is knowing our neighbors, cooperating with our neighbors, and working together for a common goal. Our neighborhoods should be prosperous. There is no reason that we are not able to create a cash flow when we are, in fact, spending money every day. So now, often the job of an alderman is to work with the business community and convince them to invest by establishing an outlet in an area where there are residents who will spend money for their services. So when shopping centers close, they leave a void. What do we do? Well, one thing we can do is form cooperatives. That means people are jointly owning a business. And if they're owning the business, they can shop there. And there have been successful co-ops. Co-ops work best when you already have an organized body. So if you've got a block club or a neighborhood association, you already have a structure where people are responsible. You've got officers. You've got some type of charter. You've got a bank account where you perhaps are contributing, paying membership dues. You have something to work with. So if a business closes, you can buy it as a community organization and still keep it running if it's providing a service or products that the neighborhood needs. We have to begin to expand our thinking and look at different ways of doing things. Many times we become helpless, and it's a trained helplessness. We get used to someone else doing for us. And living in public housing can create that mindset. I had a friend who realized during her years in living in public housing that she had torn curtains hanging from her window. For 7 years, those torn curtains hung from her window, and she kept thinking the building management should come in here and change these curtains. But she let them stay torn. And then once she left that place, she realized at any point she could have replaced those torn curtains so that her children were not looking at a window where the curtains were torn, sending the subliminal message, we are poor and helpless. We can't even make our household look aesthetically pleasing. We're poor. We're helpless. This is what dirty, unkempt places say to our children. And if we're living in a place where the city or someone else is responsible for its upkeep and it doesn't get kept up and we let it stay dirty, we're saying to ourselves and everyone else, I am helpless. I am poor. I am not worthy of cleanliness or beauty. Now, we can get angry, and what our children are expressing is the anger in being made to feel that they're not worthy of decent places to live, and so their behavior is expressing of that anger and resentment. But if they had nice homes, and what does it take but to pick up a broom? And sometimes you can share and exchange with neighbors who may have skills. We used to do that before the advent of a monetary system. Money is just symbolic of the energy of action in creating either a product or a service. So it's a symbol. But truly, you don't need the symbol, just directly trade the service. You need somebody to fix the hinges on the door. Well, maybe they need somebody to go shopping for them. So maybe you can do a direct trade. But you can definitely figure out how not to have the door hinge just keep hanging and not fix it. Perhaps you have a house that needs painting, and the old chip paint gives the impression that the place is abandoned. Well, maybe this person who paints needs somebody who knows how to fix a car. And maybe that's a skill you have. So you can do a direct exchange. That's how we used to do. You can only do these things when you get to know your neighbors and you talk to your neighbors and you're not afraid of your neighbors. That's what a neighborhood is. When neighbors interact. So if we want to change what's happening financially, rather than sitting and getting angry at whoever is mayor or whoever is governor or whoever is alderman or whoever is a state representative or whoever is the U.S. congressman, pick up a broom, pick up a mop, pick up a bucket, pick up a shovel, pick up a paintbrush. Let's clean up where we live. And let's help those who may not have the resources to do so. When we see an elderly couple that may not have the means or the energy to keep maintaining their home, and they may feel like they don't have the finances to pay, let's find a way to help as a community. Today we picked up trash and weeds from some of the areas that elderly people lived who didn't have the physical energy to go and clean the areas behind their homes. That doesn't mean we just let it stay trashy. If we're a community, we work together. And this is what all of us can do. This is not hard. It merely takes a decision. So what does a community look like when people choose to work together? It's a community that is safe. And it's a community where people are able to do creative things. Now, one of the things that we can do as a community is address the lack of good use of vacant areas. We, of course, during that very memorable pandemic year, started Pandemic Farms. And it was a process of discovering what is growing in the areas that have been left to simply grow unsupervised plant life. And we learned that much of that plant life was actually something nutritious and edible and even medicinal. And then we learned about the process of growing fruits and vegetables, and realizing that there's so much unused land in our urban areas. So outgrowing from the pandemic farms, and pandemic stands for producing agricultural nourishment, developing economies, making independent communities. Growing out of that is one of our homeschool classes to be introduced this fall called Grow Your Own Food. And this will give those who have any plot of land, even if it's just a bucket of dirt, the means of growing something that you can eat so that you're never feeling helpless or at the mercy of grocery stores that may choose to pack up and move away. So if we want to feel empowered, we have to empower ourselves with knowledge. Many families who came up from the South came with agricultural skills. And if they had any kind of a plot of land, backyard, they would grow greens, tomatoes, peppers. And they would be able to eat and share the food. We can do likewise. So look for the class Grow Your Own Food at newearthhomeschoolacademy.teachable.com. And we want you to think in terms of the holistic approach that we introduced with our Pandemic Farms program, which is be conscious of the recycling process, because we can create compost, which is actually organic material that fertilizes soil by what is our kitchen scraps. We can save plastics and aluminum products and send them to the recycling. And as we've seen, we've got those big blue recycling bins where your recyclables go, your cardboard and papers and things like that. And the other trash will be minimal if we do those things. So we advocated those things. We are responsible for cleaning up where we live. And if we walk past blocks and blocks of blighted areas, who do we think is going to fix that? We can get mad and talk about the mayor and talk about the alderman and talk about the government and talk about the state rep, but if they don't live on that block, then they're not likely going to make that their priority. We need to make it a priority where we live. So with our Grow Your Own Food program, we're giving families a chance to discover how to make the best use of the land that they have and maybe even the plants that are growing on that land. And maybe they may decide to even buy some dirt, some soil. There's a difference. Buy some soil and grow some of the things that they enjoy eating. And children will be enthusiastic when they can be involved in activities that give them a feeling of empowerment, because they can then see how the efforts that they put forth result in something as significant as food to eat. So if we really want to change an attitude of children, we have to give them a different vision. So we're going to share just a bit of some of the work that we're doing right in the place where we live.
So now we got...
And you can do likewise, because it doesn't take much to put together some soil and choose to grow some food. And we'll be continuing with pandemic farms and growing food in areas that have been left neglected so that we can make sure there is no wasteland.
Hey, family. Well, we've been working hard in the garden this year, growing some great food, and it's nothing like feeding yourself from your own land. So now, we got some tomatoes, and we got what some people might consider weeds, but for one who knows, these over here, these dandelions make some great greens. Yes, so we've got some dandelions along with our tomato plants. Now, we've also got some sweet potatoes growing here. And these long vines plants here are watermelon. Those aren't ready yet, but as you can see, we've definitely got some tomatoes growing. And our peppers are coming up. You know, we've got this nice pepper here. It's supposed to turn red, but, you know, we might have to pick it a little early. So, you know, it's always good to be able to eat from your own yard. So now, everything here in this lawn is edible. Everything from the clover, where we can make tea, and we've got some red clover and some white clover down here, and we've got some dandelion leaves. So we're going to show you, when you know how to discover food, how you can have a good meal. Now, the tomatoes right now, they're still green, but have you ever had fried green tomatoes? Well, I tell you, we've got some onions growing here. They're not ready yet either. They won't be ready for picking until next spring. But that's okay, because we've got some dandelions that were ripe for picking, and we've picked some of our green tomatoes, and we're going to show you what a good meal looks like. So stay with us, because
We got some fried green tomatoes and some delicious dandelion greens that we have cooked up for a delicious meal grown right here in my backyard. Grow your own food.
And we most certainly have done that. We have grown our own food and have experienced the taste of homegrown dandelion greens and have actually shown our viewers what it looks like. You know, that's a plant that has a lot of nutritional value. And we're going to be talking more about that, and we're going to be sharing more with you on our class, Grow Your Own Food. We want to change how we see the city. It's a place of abundance if we just see it. And if we teach it to our children, and if we show them places to live that are comfortable and clean, we can change what we're experiencing in our cities. But we have to change how we see the cities and how we see ourselves. So we want to thank you all for joining us today. Come on back tomorrow for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio TV show, and we want to say a farewell and a thank you to our global family all around the world. We say thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.